Well, aren't you glad you came to the house of God tonight? His word is eternal. It's so fun when you know, you don't talk to them about what you're going to be ministering on, and they end up building your message right in out of the songs that they sing, you know. His word's eternal, guys, and tonight we're going to talk about the word. And I'm so excited every opportunity I get to minister, and it's always a privilege to stand in pastor's pulpit. And please be in prayer with him. And they are preparing for camp meeting. You know, as busy as their schedule has been and the travels that has taken them different places, I find it interesting that everything they're focusing is on the next thing. And so they got out of town for a while, and they are just praying and preparing and getting ready for camp meeting. How many of you will you agree with them and begin praying right now and begin preparing right now and expecting an outpouring of the Spirit here at camp meeting? That's only literally 3 weeks away, guys. It's hard to believe that. We're talking 19 days and it starts, 18 days and it starts. And so I just want to encourage you guys. Begin right now. You know what? If you raise your level of expectancy now, just imagine what it'll be when you arrive. It's going to be a good time. And so if you see that there's opportunities for volunteering and opportunities to serve, we want to just encourage you, get involved, you know. And I know a lot of good individuals that they actually take vacation for camp meeting. You know what? If you're feeling a little weak and you're feeling a little down, you know what? It might not be so bad to invest in yourself for that week. Take some time off and get over here. There's some great ministers, and I promise you, you'll get something if you come expecting. Amen? Amen. Well, with that being said, if you'll do me a favor and turn to the book of Jeremiah, and anybody that starts in the book of Jeremiah, everybody in the room just goes, oh my. We're going to start and preach and minister out of the book of Jeremiah tonight. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? I'm going to ask you this question, though, as we get started. And have you ever heard these words, stop right where you are? Have you ever heard those words before? You know what? I was thinking about it as I was contemplating my message tonight. You know, I heard those words when I was a little kid. I was sneaking into the pantry, opening the door, and my mother would say, stop, what are you doing? I just want a cookie. It's dinner in 5 minutes. Or you might be doing something. Maybe you're new on the job and you might be working a press or something like that and you're doing it wrong. And all of a sudden from across the room, somebody hollers at you, stop, don't do it that way. You're going to lose a finger, right? Or this is always a fun one. You know, when all of a sudden a spider might be coming or, you know, and somebody says, stop, don't move. It's about to land on you, right? Stop right where you are. I remember one time, you know, my wife tells this. I wasn't there. I was fortunate not to be there, but my wife and kids, they would go camping with my in-laws. My in-laws were at a park, and this was in southern central Missouri, and while they were in the park, all of a sudden, one of them yelled across the room, stop, right, nobody move, nobody move, stop, right where you are. And a skunk came right through by the campfire, found the marshmallows, proceeded to sit down and eat the marshmallows. And then when he was done with the marshmallows, he just sauntered on his way. How many of you know you're going to stop right where you are when there's a skunk coming through camp? You know what? Some of you might have been a little bit less sanctified at one time in your life, and somebody like the police yelled, stop right where you are. Hopefully we don't have anybody in here like that, do we? No. Stop right where you are. You know what? We're the purely carnal, but you know what? Spiritually, sometimes we get those too. Have you ever heard from God sometimes? Stop right where you are. I did that once, and I think I've shared the story about me buying a Mercury Sable. God said, stop, don't do it, don't buy that car. Proceeded to buy the car, and it was downhill from that moment on. But the reality is that there are moments in our life when we have to just stop right where we are. Say that with me, stop. Right where we are. You know, over the past couple of weeks, there's a passage of scripture in the book of Jeremiah that has a unique, the uniqueness of this scripture. If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation tonight, but I'm going to qualify it again and say this.
I have a 1996 version of the New Living Translation, and it's not what most people use. So I'm just going to tell you that up front. So I'm going to read what they've got on the screen, which is the current New Living, but I'm going to then read it to you out of the one that I have a tendency to read from on a regular basis. The Bible says this. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road I want. Have you ever said that to God? God, I don't want to go that way. You know, the New Living Translation in 1996 wrote it this way. It says, stop right where you are. It says, look for the old and godly way and walk in it. Travel its paths and you will find rest for your souls. You know, over the course of the last couple of weeks, you know, I've been challenged by this passage of Scripture. I came across it in my own personal study. I wasn't looking for anything supernatural or significant. I was just kind of reading along one day. And as I came along this passage, and it just kind of, when it said, stop right where you are, I was like, okay. But what was interesting is little did I realize, no, I understood what was taking place in our nation. And I thought to myself, you know what? There's something about this passage that caused me to ponder for quite a while. Because what happened last week, and we're not going to talk about a lot what happened last week in our government, in the policies of our nation, and the things that in the laws that have changed. But you know what? At some point in our lives, guys, there has to be a reality that we have to stop right where we are. Last week caused me to stop right where I was. I held my breath, got sick to my stomach. But the reality is that God is telling us to stop right where we are. As I read that passage of Scripture, and again, I've been pondering this over the last couple of weeks, and this passage did for me, it was almost as if God was preparing me for what was going to take place last week in our government. You know, what's interesting is you take this passage of Scripture and you try to read it in its context, you have to look at the book of Jeremiah, and the book of Jeremiah is a wonderful book. Say it's a wonderful book. It's a story of Israel and Judah getting it wrong, and they're not wanting to do it right. And Jeremiah's been commissioned by God to help them get it right. And it's interesting, in chapter 5, it says this, and so we've got the sins of Judah, we've got the sins of Israel taking place, and God speaks through the warning, through the prophet Jeremiah, and he says this, my people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned against me and have chosen to practice idolatry. They do not say from the heart, let us live in awe of the Lord our God, for he gives us rain each spring and fall, assuring us of plentiful harvests. Your wickedness has deprived you of these wonderful blessings. Your sin has robbed you of all of these good things. God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah is telling them the very involvement of what's taking place in this nation is not a good thing. Now, guys, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the political aspects of things, but I have to bring your remembrance to the fact that coming up this weekend is July 4th. It's Independence Day. How many of you are just so grateful that we live in the greatest nation of the world? I'm so excited about what God has done in this nation throughout the generations. You know what? The sad fact of the matter is that in this passage of Scripture, and getting stuck in the book of Jeremiah is a place in which we can pull incredible truths for our daily lives today. When I look at this passage and it says, stop, walk in the godly way, I have to not only evaluate myself, but we as a church have to evaluate ourselves as a church, and we also have to stop, guys, and evaluate ourselves as a nation. Are we walking in the godly way? Are we walking in his precepts? Are we walking in his purpose? Are we walking in his direction for our lives? You know what, as I read this passage, you know, Jeremiah has beat me up from time to time. There was a passage about 6-7 years ago, might be closer to 8 years ago, that the Lord dealt with me about in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32. And it says, can a bride forget her attire or a bridesmaid her ornaments? And says, yet you have forgotten me days without number. And so when we start asking ourselves questions like this, I have to say, what is the godly way? You know what? And I'm going to be facetious for just a minute, but you know what? Is the godly way suits and ties? Is the godly way getting rid of smoke, lights, cameras, action? Is that the God? Guys, I don't think it has anything to do with those things. Because when we start looking at the godly way, you can read through your Bible, he gives it completely clearly what is his purpose and plan. You know, I have to ask myself the question, is the godly way reading the King James versus the New Living Translation? For some, I might get an amen. But you know what? It asks me questions as it gives me that command. Am I walking in that way? Am I walking on the path that I'm supposed to walk on? Am I on the right or the wrong? You realize that you can be on the wrong path? You can be on a path, but you can be on a wrong path. Both Judah and Israel were at the crossroads. And as we read in Jeremiah chapter 5, we recognize that they had a responsibility to choose. The Bible says this, and in Deuteronomy, I love this passage. God is a multiple choice kind of God. But he only usually gives you two answers. Right? He gives you two answers. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, we realize that he says this. Okay, there's the godly way. He says, I'm going to give you the opportunity to choose life. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to choose what? Death. And then this is the cool thing about God. Is he says, by the way, choose A. The problem is, guys, is that many of us are like this passage in Jeremiah 6:16, where it says, no, I don't want to go that way. And we choose to go our own way. And as a result, we step out of the position of life and step realm into the realm of death. May not even see it at first. May not even feel it or experience it at first. But we move from the realm of life into death. When we read that passage and it says the old way, oftentimes what we do is we chart that scripture and put it away because you know what? No, I'm into the new thing. I'm into the new and the fresh revelation. I'm looking for the new glory. And you know, the reality is the Bible tells us that we have to be careful of those winds of doctrine that come and go. When God says go to the old way, that's not a bad thing. Say the old way is not bad. But what is the way of God? You know, just like Israel and Judah were at the crossroads, I'm going to be convinced and communicate to you that I'm convinced that our nation is also at a crossroads. You know, as we look at Independence Day coming up in the next couple of days, flags are beginning to be flown. You know, I went through my neighborhood and I don't know who does it in our neighborhood, but every year somebody sticks a flag in my front yard and then all of a sudden about 2 days later it's gone. I'm like, the flag gnomes, you know? They don't ask me to put it there. I guess it's in my bylaws. I'm supposed to let them do that. That's okay. Cool. No worries. I'm very patriotic, so it doesn't bother me. Dana's already put up two flags on the house. So it doesn't bother me a bit. In fact, I'm quite patriotic. But when you're looking at the patriotism of our nation, when you start looking at the founding establishment of this great nation in which we live, what took place last week could be absolutely devastating to some. How many of you know God's still on the throne? How many of you know God saw it coming? But how many of you realize that now we have a responsibility? We have a responsibility because our nation is one of the, it's very hard for me to say this. I still believe it's the greatest nation in the world, but we're not the nation we once were. Is that okay if I say it that way? And I don't want to demean our country because I still believe that there's no greater soil to walk on. I've traveled this world and when I get home, I'm grateful I'm home. I mean that with all of my heart, but you know what? Like Israel and Judah, we are a nation that is at a crossroads. And although I'm still reflecting on this passage, and we're going to talk about this passage in our own personal lives, but I want to use it as a foundation for everything that we're going to talk about this evening. It's important for us to understand with Independence Day coming up that I thought it might be good that I might relate it somewhat historically to where we are as a country and once we believed. Historically, the word has played a vital role in the prosperity of nations. We recognize in the nations of Israel and the nations of Judah that they were prosperous when they obeyed God, and then what happened when they didn't? They lost everything they had, and in most cases went backward. They didn't just go backward, but they became the slaves of other nations. They became servants of other nations. And just like us, we find ourselves in a situation right now. Historically, the word has played a vital role in the prosperity of nations. Whether you're reading the historical documents of the Old Testament like Jeremiah, or you start reading things in the New Testament, or you start reading things online, I can find and I can show individuals where our country once was founded. The truth of the matter is that leaders of our nation once placed an incredible value on the word. Our nation was founded on the foundation of the word of God. And I don't have all the time in the world to go through all of the different nuances of what I found, but I found this thought, and 600 years before Jeremiah made his proclamation of what God was telling to the nations of Israel and Judah, 600 years, Solomon spoke wisdom. And he said this in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 2. He said this: when there is moral rot within a nation, its government topples easy. But with wise and knowledgeable leaders, there is stability. Think about that. That's a New Living Translation version. And I'm not sure what it was in your version, but that's the 96 version. When there is moral rot within a nation, the government topples easy. The greatness of our nation was established when the word of God was revered. And I went back and I did some research. I have about 26 hours. I know Pastor talks about his philosophy hours. I've got about 26 hours of political science. If you want to talk about stuff with me, that's where I enjoy it. I get into the history of politics and science. And I know you're not supposed to talk politics in church. Yes, you are. Because you know what? We're the ones that are supposed to affect politics. We're the ones that are supposed to have the convictions that will guide and direct politics. But let me share some thoughts with you. I went back and I just went looking for presidents right now. I just went looking for presidents. And John Quincy Adams, the sixth president, said this: the first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention is the Bible. I speak as a man of the world, and I say to you, search the scriptures. Our seventh president, Andrew Jackson, says this. He says, that book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic stands. Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, says this: in regard for this great book, I have this to say, it is the best gift God has given to man. Hallelujah. We're just talking about our presidents. Our 18th president, Ulysses S. Grant, said this: hold fast to the Bible as a sheet anchor for your liberties. Write its precepts in your hearts and practice them with your lives. To the influence of this book, we are indebted for all the progress made in true civilization. It's because of the word that Ulysses S. Grant said that we've accomplished what we've accomplished because of this book. Can you say that in your own life? Everything that you are, everything that you've become is a result of this book. So I have to say this to you. Stop right where you are. Is it the most important thing in your world? Benjamin Harrison made this statement. He says this: if you take out your statutes, your constitution, your family life, all that is taken from the sacred book, what would there be left to bind society together? If you took this book out, where would society be? Woodrow Wilson, our 28th president, made this statement. He said, the Bible is the one supreme source of revelation of the meaning of life, the nature of God, the spiritual nature, and needs of man. It is the only guide of life which really leads the spirit to the way of peace and salvation. America was born as a Christian nation. Can I get an amen? America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which were derived from the revelations of the Holy Scripture. I could go on and on and on, guys. Calvin Coolidge said this: the foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible. Franklin Roosevelt, our 32nd president, said this: where we have been the truest and most consistent in obeying its precepts, we have attained the greatest measure of contentment and prosperity. He said this, he said, when we have obeyed it, we've done well. When we haven't, it's not gone so good. How many of you can agree with that in your own life? I almost said, don't raise your hand, because I wanted to be the only one there that let myself be known. Harry Truman, our 33rd president, said this. He said, the fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights came from the teachings we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. The Bill of Rights that our nation was founded on was founded within the Word of God. Ronald Reagan, my last one, I'm just going to give you this one. It says, it is my firm belief that the enduring values presented in its pages have a great meaning for each of us and for our nation. The Bible can touch our heart, order our minds, and refresh our souls. Goes back to our passage of Scripture. If we understand that we are to stop right where we are, look for the old godly way and walk in it, travel in its path, and it says this, we will find rest for our souls. President Reagan is quoting Scripture. You know, it's interesting, though, our founding fathers recognized the power within the Word, but they were not alone. As you read through Scripture, we are reminded of its value above all else. What our founding fathers understood was that this was not just simply a book of tradition, but rather it was a foundation for life's energies, efforts, and all of existence. As I was thinking about it, and I kept asking myself, okay, God, what is the godly way? What is the godly way? The old godly way is not found in the traditions of man, church, but it's found rather in the truth of God's word. There are things that I know, that I know, that I know, I hold in my heart that are a tradition and not the Bible. Is that okay if I say that? And when something happens contrary to that tradition, I get kind of bent out of whack. Nobody else in the room, don't raise your hand, just keep looking forward, because every one of us have a tradition. We all have something in us that we shouldn't say, we should say, a way it should be done, a way it shouldn't be done. Some of you arrived at Rhema and went, whoa, there's people up at the altar worshiping, raising their hands. Some of you walked into Rhema and you saw lights flashing and you went, whoa, what is this? It hurts, don't. Somebody walked in and said, the sound is just too loud, please turn it down. Guys, sometimes that's just traditions of man. Do you realize that with the loud shout, walls come down? I don't need it to be quiet. I'm interested in people being set free, guys. You know what? When people walked around that, when they walked around that wall and they got to the end and all of a sudden they gave out that rally cry, the Bible says that the walls sunk into the ground as if they never existed. You know what? There's people in this room right now that are needing from God and needing an answer from God. They're needing a deliverance from God. And you know what? If your traditions get in the way of them receiving from God, you're the one that's going to have to answer for that. My desire is to get them to God. Pastor's desire, every one of this staff, its desire is to get people to God. Get God, get them to the answer, not to repel them from it. And guys, I just need you to stop right where you are. For just a minute. Because when we start talking about this truth, we know that God's truth, it is real. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. And we're going to talk for just a few minutes about this value that we find in the truth rather than tradition. See, our founding fathers found the truth of God's word. They realized it was the foundation and the success and the prosperity upon which this great nation is established. Let me say it to you this way, guys. If you will find the truth of God's word, it will provide for you the truth and the prosperity and the blessing and the abundance that is necessary for your life, for our church, and for this great nation. We get all bent out of shape with social media and start slinging junk across the internet, and everybody's wondering what kind of Christian we are. I'm not a proponent to say, hey, don't say something, but watch what you say. I got to be honest, my family had to really look at a lot of my potential posts. You know what I'm talking about? I wrote something, and Lauren said, don't send that, Dad. Okay. I wrote something else, thought it was great and eloquent, and my wife said, Bob, don't send that. I said, okay. Because you realize this. You know what? If I'm supposed to stop and walk in the godly way, guess what I'm supposed to walk in? I'm supposed to walk in love. I'm supposed to walk according to the precepts of this word. Amen? Why would the world, who knows nothing about the word, live by the word? Can we expect anything less of a sinful nation? Can we expect anything from an individual who's a heathen and doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior? We can't expect anything less. It almost ought to make us laugh. I knew you would respond that way. Why? Because they're of the father, the devil. Right? It's not until they come in contact with a gracious and kind and loving Savior that their personality and their thought processes change. How many of you know our thought processes are still pretty messed up, and we've got Jesus? We're still working on some of those areas. So we're not here to bring condemnation. We're just supposed to bring them love. That was free. That was not in the notes. But John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and He was God, and He was the beginning with God. He created everything there was. Nothing exists that He didn't make. Life itself was in Him, and this life gives light to everyone. Say everyone. And light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never, say never. It can never extinguish it. If we're walking in the light of God's word, if we're walking in Him, guess what? I don't care how much darkness we encounter in this world, guys. It ain't going out. You realize without the word, nothing would exist. That's what the Bible says. Without the word, nothing would exist. Within the word, we find life. Ha! Isn't that cool? Without, we wouldn't exist, but within it, we have life. And then finally, through it, we have light. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting to me, if you have your Bibles, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Everybody doing okay? 2 Peter chapter 2 says this, And this little passage of scripture, Peter's talking, and he says, guys, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things, even though you know them and are already established in them. And what is he talking about? He's saying, guys, I've got some things I want to share with you. I'm fixing to go. My life is about to be extinguished. He said, but you know what? While I'm still here, I'm going to remind you of what the word says. I'm going to remind you of the truths of who God is. And he goes on to say this down in verse number 19. He says, because of that, we have never a greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. Look at what he says. Pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like light shining in a dark place. He says, pay attention to what's been written. Pay attention to what's been written. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says this, every word of God proves true. If the word is true, guys, I want you to understand something. It should produce something in us, not an opportunity for argument, but rather a demonstration of his power. If the word of God is working in me, it should not be an opportunity for argument, but an opportunity for a demonstration of God's power. Isn't that true? If I'm not walking in the light of God's word, if it's not within me, without me, and through me, guess what? Is there power? Is there a demonstration happening in my life? Smith Wigglesworth said this in his book, The Secret of His Power. I read this. It says, two things dominated Smith Wigglesworth's life and ministry. First, he has a consuming love for the Word of God. The second is he had an overwhelming confidence in the Word of God. Where was the secret of his power? The Word. Where was that power? Where was that power made manifest? How did it come to light? How did it come to truth? It came because of a reverence and an understanding for this. When we understand that, there's several things that when we talk about this, there's an importance of God's word. Number one is it's given by inspiration. We must never forget that it's given by inspiration. Number two, we must understand that it's an instrument for instruction. I'm going to give you several of these things, and they're just going to be fast because I want to finish with a conclusion, but it's an instrument for our instruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:20, pay attention to my word. 8:33 says this, listen to my instruction and don't neglect it. So not only is it's given by inspiration, not only is it an instrument for instruction, but it's also something that establishes our identification. Do you realize that this word identifies you? It either identifies you as one being with or one being against him. So what are you saying? Are you saying this or are you saying something else? If you're saying what this is, you're identifying with this word. If you're speaking contrary to this, and this is not a political position that I'm saying if it's in here, and it should be in here. We don't have the right to pick and choose. There are things in here I would rather, I would love to take it out, wouldn't you? No, be honest. Now I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Wouldn't you love some of it to be not there? Tell me, honestly. Don't let me be the only one that feels that way. But there would be great if there were some things that weren't in there. But they're there. It establishes my identification. The Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Number four, it influences our intentions. It influences our intentions. Not only does it establish our identification, but it influences our intention. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:17, we no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. Right? How am I walking? How am I living? Am I putting on the old and taking off, or am I taking off the new and walking in the old? The Bible says in the former time we walked in darkness, but we're not like that anymore. Amen? So it influences our intentions. When we recognize in Romans chapter 8 that there's a walking by the flesh or there's a walking by the Spirit. The Bible says that when I choose to walk according to my flesh, guess what? The Bible says there's death. But if I choose to walk according to the Spirit, hallelujah, I have life and I have peace. Glory to God. It influences our intention. Jesus in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, without going there, we understand that his intention was, you know what? I'm not going to have any other intention than other what the Word says. Oh, but you could have all these kingdoms, but my intention is, you know what, but you could eat, but my intention is. And what did he do? He declared what the word had to say because his intention was influenced with the word. It eradicates our ignorance. This word will eradicate our ignorance. And what I mean by that is in Hebrews, it says, for the word of God is alive and it's powerful and it's dividing within us. That soul and spirit. You know what? Our feelings and emotions have an opinion. But you know what? I want my spirit man. I want my spirit man be alive in Christ. It eradicates my ignorance. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that earthly wisdom is foolishness. You could read chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, and it's all full of information about why God chose the foolishness of things to confound the wise. You know what? Simple illustration, guys. How do you prosper? Give. Doesn't make sense. I prosper by giving it away, right? Right? How do I advance? By denying myself. Right? How do I get the good seat at the table? I sit at the lowest table. Everything is opposite. God's economy is completely different. The way he does things. It provides for us illumination, guys. The word of God provides for us illumination. The Bible says the word is a lamp unto my feet and you recognize that there is an enemy in this world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says there is Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the light of the good news. In other words, this word provides illumination. When you come in contact with that spirit of the world, with what took place last week, and people are fighting you on your job, and they're fighting with you on things like that, guess what? You show them the light, and they have nothing to argue with. There's nothing they can do. The word can be trusted as infallible, folks. There's nothing in there that's wrong. There's nothing in there that's wrong. As for God, his way is perfect. 2 Samuel 22:31 in the NIV says this, the Lord's word is flawless. Say flawless. It's flawless, and he shields all who take refuge in him. His word is flawless. It's without error. There is nothing wrong with it. It is perfect for every situation in your life. The last thing that I want to share with you before I close is this, is it provides a promise for our inheritance. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you may ask for anything you want and it'll be granted unto you. Jeremiah 6:16 says this, it says, stop right where you are. Look for the old and godly way. It says, and walk in it, travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. There's five simple things I need you to do in the next 1 minute. Number one, I don't know where your life is right now. I don't know what's going on in your world. I don't know the hurts, the pains, the anxieties, the fears, the doubts, the insecurities, the hopes, the dreams, whatever they might be. But I need you to understand the most important thing is right now is you have to be willing to stop. See, oftentimes what we do is we get into that position of go. And sometimes what we do is because we're so invested in something, we've spent so much time doing it, and all of a sudden we're supposed to stop. Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. No, wait a minute, God. I felt like I was supposed to go this way, so I'm going this way. And what he says is, you know what? Stop right where you are. Guys, some of you are trying to make decisions about careers. You're trying to make decisions about family. You're trying to make decisions about school. You can't make that decision in the natural. God's not going to speak to you there. The only way that you're going to be able to make that decision is by stopping and hearing the voice of God. The second thing you need to do is you need to recognize where you are. Not only do you need to stop, but you need to recognize where you are. Not in the right place, or do you realize that you are on the wrong road? Oops. Keep looking forward. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But some of you might be traveling the wrong road. And you know what? God's he's willing to say to you again, just like he talked to Israel and Judah through the prophet Jeremiah. He said, guys, guess what? I'm willing to help you make a detour if you need to, but you got to stop right where you are. Some of you might be getting ready to build a building. Some of you might be getting ready to, like I said, to change jobs. But you know what? If you're on the wrong road, you know what? What's the destination or the arrival? It's not the right place. If you're on the wrong road, you're not going to arrive at the right place. You know what? Some of us are too proud for number three. Guys, we have this problem driving down the road. Ask if you don't know. I've never done that. I'm a liar. The truth of the matter is there have been times I've had to ask. Thank God for a phone now with GPS. Makes me look a whole lot cooler. I don't get lost as much as I know. But the reality is, guys, you know, sometimes we can't find our way by ourselves. You know what? This passage is so clear to us that we're supposed to walk in the godly way. But you know what? Some of us might be saying, I don't know how. Don't keep floundering. Be willing to stop and say, how do I get there? Ask a friend. Ask a pastor. Ask somebody. Let them help guide you so that you can get back to the godly way. Number four is this. You need to follow directions. The reality is a lot of us will be told what we need to do, but we're not willing to do it. Sometimes following the godly way means you have to cut off a friend that you've been friends with for a long time. And I'm just talking true. Sometimes you need to put away things. Sometimes you need to cut off the cable if it's something that you can't handle. Sometimes you need to turn off the internet if it's something you can't deal with. You have to be willing to follow the directions. The Bible is interested in you being obedient, not just present. You have a book of directions that came straight from God. It's His love letter to you guys. Man, He's so in love with you. Can you even wrap your mind around an inkling of what that means? Just follow His directions. And the last thing is this: remain faithful even if you don't want to. You know, in this passage, it makes the statement, it says this, but you reply, no, that's not the road I want. You know what? Oftentimes God's direction is not exactly our direction. But His word says that His ways are not our ways. But you know what? They're a whole lot better. You know what? You think you're running on a highway, and He says, you know what? Let me introduce you to a superhighway. Amen? But you know, this is a brand new road. I'm happy. I'm glad. I'm good going this way. And He says, you know what? But I'd rather put you on the Autobahn. Hallelujah. And usually when you're willing to ride in the Autobahn, guess what? He puts you in a vehicle that'll allow you to sustain that. In other words, what I'm talking about is blessing is there. Amen? Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. I just want to tell you this. Stop. Hammer time. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I had to just lighten everybody up for just a minute. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I'm going to stop right where I am and follow Your way, Your godly way, Your old godly way. I'm going to walk in Your truth. I'm going to find Your path. So that I can accomplish and I can receive all that You have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. The prayer team is coming forward right now. And I just want to challenge you this week that, guys, we live in a great nation. Don't get into arguments. Exemplify the word, amen. Some of you might be here tonight and something I said, you know, pricked your heart. It might have challenged you to believe or change some thinking or some thoughts. The prayer team is right here. Guys, come to the guys. Gals, come to the gals. They want to pray with you. Maybe you came to this church and something I said to you tonight says, you know what? I've never walked the godly way. I don't even know Jesus. They want to introduce you to the Savior of the world, the light of the world, the hope that you can have tonight. You might be in this place and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm born again, but you know what? I don't have that power that you talked about. You know what? That's a thing called the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And we believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If you've never had that experience, please come forward. They'll pray with you about that too. Or anything else that you might have need of for prayer as well. Don't forget to sign up for everything that's going on. Let me just pray a blessing over you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for all this congregation means to me, but more importantly, means to You. I pray, Heavenly Father, that this week, the balance of this week, that what they put their hand to would prosper. Father, that You would open doors of opportunity for them. Father, I thank You and praise You, Lord, that they would recognize they're the head and not the tail. And Lord, that in all things they can accomplish and be conquerors and be more than victims, but be victorious and triumph in all things. Father, I thank You, Heavenly Father, that as they enter into this weekend and some will get to enjoy an extended weekend because of the holiday, we pray, Lord, safety and protection would be upon them and that they would walk in Your divine health and healing. Father, we thank You, Lord, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, turn around, shake a hand, hug a neck, find somebody that you don't know before you leave and make sure they feel welcome tonight. God bless you.